Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we would like you to be a part of this edition. Give us a call if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss. 844-322-2742. That's the number good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're getting into the Christmas season, and it's indeed a wonderful time of the year, isn't it, guys,
to really
celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A couple of myths we need to put to bed. You know, Jesus was not born on December 25th.
What?
You're not going to find that date anywhere in the Word of God. We don't know the actual date that Jesus was born. Some speculate that it was in the fall. Others speculate it was in spring. We don't even know the year that he was born. We put it between 4 and 6 B.C. based on the narrative in Luke.
And that's reasonable.
Yes, it's very reasonable. So we don't actually know the actual date that he was born. But I think around 300 A.D. or something, we adopted the 25th. A lot of people have problems with that date because of what it represented way back when. But that's the date we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. So the date isn't that important. It's the fact that Jesus was born, that that prophecy about him was fulfilled, that he became one of us to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. That is the great story of Christmas, that Jesus put upon himself flesh and blood. He tasted death for you and me so that we could experience life everlasting. But the story of Jesus did not just start some 2,000 years ago. Jesus has always been. So he pre-existed, or he existed before the creation of this world. As a matter of fact, he is the creator. He was the one that brought this world into being. So as John wrote in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus has always been. And we see that reality again in one of those crazy conversations that Jesus seemed to find himself in with the Pharisees. And he had talked to them, anyone who abides in my word, then they are truly my disciples, and they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. And the Pharisees were like, well, wait a minute, we've never been slaves. Of course, you know, that's revisionist history.
Yes.
They haven't read the Old Testament very well, because there was a 400-year period where the nation of Israel was enslaved to Egyptian control. And that's the story of the Exodus, God setting them free. And that symbolizes the freedom that we have now in Christ Jesus, the fact that Jesus has set us free from sin and death. So he goes through this conversation, and they're starting to ask him, you know, on whose authority? I mean, who are you? I mean, why are you saying these things? Who do you think you are? And so the Jews said to him, this is in verse 57 of John chapter 8, so the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Because he's talking about Abraham and that in this conversation. And then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So this is another statement by Jesus that really confounded the Pharisees. They scratched their heads and said, how could this be? But they understood exactly what he was claiming. He was saying that he has always been. You know, the name I Am, that's the name of God. And Richard, tell us the story of how that name came to be. How did the people of Israel come to understand that the name of God was I Am?
Well, Moses was up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and had been there for a while. And he and God were going back and forth about the law, and God was writing things down. I'll go back earlier than that. When God comes to Moses at the burning bush and says, I want you to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, Moses said, who should I tell them sent me? And God said, I am sent you. Tell them, I am sent you. And so God named himself I am in that case. And then on Sinai, he repeats that to Moses, I am the I am. But he was very clear.
Yes.
God is I am.
Yes. And so the Jews on that day when Jesus made that claim before Abraham was I am, they knew exactly what he was claiming. And so they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So they knew exactly what he was saying. And why is this important? Well, because Jesus has always been. As several writers have said, he was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Before anything was created, this plan of God was already in place to save man by sending Jesus on our behalf. So all of human history is the unfolding of this story. And then the incarnation happened some 2,000 years ago. And God became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ, both fully God and fully man. And at that point, Jesus the man became the focus. And that body that he inhabited, that had been prepared for him, he was going to offer as the once-for-all sacrifice to take away the sins of the world so that we could experience eternal life in him, through faith in him. So this plan has always been in the mind of God. At a point in time, it was carried out in the person of Jesus Christ. So this Christmas story has always been in the heart of God. And we get to celebrate it each and every year and rejoice in the fact that God so loved us, he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life.
What good news that is.
Yes, indeed.
Well, 844-322-2742 is open and available to you right now. We'd love to hear from you, love for you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. And guys, we have a wonderful new gift for our donor friends of Basic Gospel, and we're going to hear about it right now. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known to the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is revealed in the new Basic Gospel book, When God Tore the Curtain. It's our gift to you as our thanks for your December gift to Basic Gospel. To make your Christmas gift and receive your copy of When God Tore the Curtain, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. When God Tore the Curtain, he revealed the mystery to us. Find out what that mystery is in this latest book from Basic Gospel, When God Tore the Curtain. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Well, I kind of played with that line that the mystery would be revealed in the new Basic Gospel book, but I think it was revealed a few years before that.
Yes, it was. It was revealed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But our own Jeannie Thompson put this book together.
Yeah,
she is just a fabulous writer, has written children's books in the past. This book is a book for all ages. I can just envision parents reading this for themselves and then sitting down with their children and reading it to them. Has wonderful illustrations in it, and we want to put it in your hands as our gift to say thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. And speaking of giving to Basic Gospel, this has just been a fabulous year for us, and we thank so many of you for standing with us.
Absolutely.
We are on target to meet our budget for the year. So between now and December 31st, I think we have $157,000 left to raise. And we just pray that many of you will step up and join us. Keep the momentum going that you have generated throughout this year. And our heart's desire, our prayer, is to begin 2018 with the opportunity to pursue new ministry outreaches, new radio stations, new ways to deliver the good news through internet, through online platforms. So all of that we want to do. The opportunities are there. We just need the money to help walk through those doors. So let's meet this target of $157,000 between now and December 31st and be prepared for a fantastic 2018.
A fantastic finish to the year.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah, just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift again to 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go talk to Andrew in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hi, Andrew.
Good afternoon. How y'all doing?
Doing fantastic. How about you, my friend?
Blessed. I am blessed, my friend. And Merry Christmas to y'all, too.
Thank you.
And I was just thinking about how you always deal with so much pregnant issues. And, like, I tried to call in Friday. I wasn't able to, but Friday and Thursday you were doing with some of the things that's happening with some of the people, allegedly, some of the things they've done to some, you know, women. And I was just listening to you as you were talking, and I was thinking about that, how we as a community, especially Christian community, we have selective memory. We some people that we like, we believe what people say if it's in our best interest. And if somebody says something against them, we discount it. And one of the things I was thinking about is I was hearing you talk about that Thursday and Friday, some of the things within the Christian community. We have the Christian community that heard a politician say some of the things that he would do to a woman that have done to women, and people come out and vote for him. Then you have another politician that's alleged to have had relationships or tried to have relationships with children. And then people in the Christian community, they'll come out and vote for those people. And see, as I look around, I remember one thing that Bob George used to say, you might profess Christianity, but that don't mean you're possessed by Christ. And we have a lot of people who are Christian people who go through these gymnastics, and what they do, they just go along with anybody as long as they think it might be doing to their political interest rather than saying, well, I can't go along. It's because it's against what Christ would have me to do. And you have so many people who are against abortion, but then they have people who are living now, and they don't seem as if to care so much about those people. And all these people are Christians. And I just love the way that you presented it Thursday and the way that you talked about it Friday, because I called Friday, but it's so interesting. I just listened to the whole show. And I just thank you the way that y'all attack issues. And you attack the issues with them the way it should be, with the grace of God, and purporting to let people know, like we said before, there's only one race, it's the human race. And besides that, we have people who are Gentiles, used to be, or heathens now, Christians and unsaved people. But I just want to, you know, maybe listen to your comments about that. And I certainly appreciate everything that y'all do. And I just love your ministry.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Yeah. I certainly appreciate those comments, and I'm glad you've paid so much attention to these last couple of broadcasts. And you know, a lot of times we, you know, we'll do things, and you know, it's the end that's so important, and the means we just don't really care about. So the ends justify the means. So. We can do things that aren't consistent with who we are as believers in Christ. And I think we see a lot of that happening in our country today from, you know, all political persuasions. It doesn't really matter. It's we can all be guilty of that. And I just think we need to realize that as believers, that our loyalties, our allegiance is to the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's first and foremost who we are. And we need to be representing that kingdom of God here on planet Earth. Oftentimes, we see this here in America, we conflate the kingdom and the United States of America. Yeah. We look at that as one thing, and that's not the case. The United States is a country. It's a wonderful country. It's blessed so many others around the globe, but it is not the kingdom of God. We are not the new Israel. It's the church that is the people of God that are representing the kingdom of God. So we have to realize that our loyalties are first and foremost to Jesus Christ. We are first and foremost children of God, citizens of that kingdom. and let's go about our business of being ministers of reconciliation, ministers of a new covenant, of lifting up the name of Jesus. The world is desperate to hear of a new way. They're desperate to see something different. We have that opportunity to give something different because we know God. We know what he's really like, and we can model that out there in this world, and we can be consistent, and we can stand for our convictions because we know that truth will prevail.
Right.
And we don't have to compromise. We don't have to give in just because that seems like the thing to do because others are. So let's just be who we are, children of God,
yes,
the Church of Jesus Christ, ministers of reconciliation, ministers of a new covenant, deliver that good news, and let God do his work in this world. We could have the greatest nation in the world, but if everybody's lost, everybody's lost. That's not a good thing. So let's give the good news and let people know about our living Savior.
Amen. I just want to thank you and the three of y'all, three Mouseketeers. Y'all all coordinate with each other so well. And another thing that I want to do is just thank you. And I like the way that you put that, you know, that more people, if we would do what Christ would have us to do and let that stand for itself, then the rest of the stuff will take care of itself.
Yes, indeed. And what Christ would have us do is simply to trust him. I mean, that's the simplicity of this new life. It's a life of trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And oftentimes we get moved away from that by the prevailing sentiment out there in the world. And we want to fit into that world. We want to be a part of what's going on, even if it's, a good, what we consider a good thing. We want to be a part of that. And so oftentimes we compromise this life of faith in Jesus Christ. So let's just continue to trust the Lord. He's sovereign. He's the one that has this in his hands, and let him do his thing and just be a part of what he's doing. And that's exciting. That's an adventure every single day. Yeah. So,
amen. And one more thing, like we were saying before, God is not to save nations. He's to save people within nations. And that's what people have to really realize.
That's right. That's
God is their Lord and Savior because nations aren't going to be saved.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, thanks for your call today.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all so much.
Appreciate your good words.
And I pray for y'all every night. Y'all have a God bless day.
Thank you, Andrew.
Hey, thank you.
It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Good to be with you.
Well, let's take, we had a couple of calls that have come in, and we've tried to get to them over the last several days, but haven't. So let's take a listen to these.
All right.
Yeah, I was just wondering, my brother-in-law is very smart when it comes to the Bible, but yet he's kind of fallen out from the Lord, got back on the drugs, and, you know, has a crazy way of thinking, but yet to be so smart about the Bible, he automatically thinks he's going to hell. I was just wondering, what do you think would be a good way to try to get across? I've tried to use every scripture I know, but he just turns down everything I say, just kind of rejects it and has his own way of thinking, and it kind of bothers me, but just wondering if there's a way I can get through to him.
Well, we certainly appreciate your heart for your brother, and that's just wonderful. And you know, it's hard sometimes when somebody has so much knowledge, and yet they're messed up. And one of the reasons they're messed up is because of that pride that's in the heart. You know, a lot of times with those who are alcoholics, those who are drug addicts, and that sort of thing. Underneath all of that, when you truly take a look at what's going on, you see a lot of pride there, that the reason they're messed up is not because their own choices, their own decisions, their own, you know, way of doing things. It's because, you know, if that person have just done what they had done, you know, were supposed to do, then I wouldn't be in this mess that I'm in. So they put the blame on a lot of other people, a lot of other places. They never take it upon themselves. Why? Because they truly believe in their heart, if everything else had gone the way it was supposed to, then they would have been the superstars that they were meant to be. So that's where a lot of these folks are. It's their pride that's leading them down that wrong path. And so sometimes you just have to wait for life to rub that pride off and bring them to a point of saying, hey, if I'm going to get help, if I'm going to change, if something's going to happen to me, then I have to own up and accept responsibility and then say thank you to Jesus for the way that he's handled all of my mess ups. The fact that he's condemned them, that he's judged them, that he bore the punishment for me so that I could have life everlasting. So God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So you just keep pouring out that message to him. You just keep telling him about Jesus. You keep reading the word to him, and then just leave the results of that in God's hands. You can't change your brother. You can't make him believe. You can't make him respond to the gospel in faith. That's the work of God. That's the work of his Spirit in your brother's heart. So you keep loving him. You keep standing by him. You keep praying for him. You keep reading the word to him. And then just step back and leave the results of that in God's hands.
Absolutely. Well, guys, another call that came in off hours was from Diana. We're going to hear that call right now.
Hi, my name is Diana in Sandpoint, Idaho, and I love your program. I get so much enjoyment out of it. But my question is, in the Bible, it said that Jacob wrestled with God, and when he wrestled with God, and he said that he saw God's face, but yet God spared his life. But in the Bible, it says that no one can see God's face and live. So could you explain that in better detail so I'll know how that can be, how he lived, because he's supposed to fight his brother, Jacob Esau. And I sure would appreciate it. Thank you. God bless. Love y'all.
According
Bye-bye.
To Scripture, that was quite a wrestling match.
Yes, that was quite a wrestling match. And that passage is in Genesis 32. And after it, Jacob says this, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." So what does that mean that he saw God face to face? And as Diana said, Exodus 33 tells us that no one can see God's face. These are the words of God. "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Well, first of all, God is spirit. He's not in human form except in the person of Jesus Christ. So God is spirit. We're not going to see him as this, this face with long white hair and white robes and those sort of things. That's not the way God is. He is spirit. So we're not going to be able to see him face to face. And he is of such a being that if we did in our fallen state, it would just consume us. It would just kill us right there on the spot. We can't take that. So what does this mean? Well, the word face to face in Hebrew, that's a plural. Faces to faces is actually the literal translation. And what does that mean? It's just saying that he encountered God. That's all this is talking about. He encountered God in a very real and tangible way, and this is just a Hebrew phrase to express that. So that's what Jacob was saying there, and in that encounter, his life was spared. And it was spared for a reason and a purpose.
Absolutely. Well, we love hearing from you, our listeners, and if you have a question, we'd love for you to call us overnight or whenever you can get to a phone, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial, and as Jay did and as Diana did, and we would love to hear from you as well. So if you've got that question, that topic of interest, well, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Keep in mind that we have this wonderful new premium for those of you who can make a donation, a Christmas donation to the ministry. We would love for you to be a part of the partnership, and you can go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, or you can call 844-322-2742. 242 with your gift, and we'll send you a copy of When God Tore the Curtain. That's it for today. For Bob Richard and the ministry's team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.